Hello and welcome to Brain Trust Live number 171.
This week on the podcast, not much actual hearing was going on at the Congressional Planned Parenthood yammerings this week.
And Kevin McCarthy's speaker candidacy unravels after an accidental moment of honesty.
The Oregon shooting is a remarkable reminder of how unremarkable it is to be talking about mass shootings in America.
And Bernie Sanders is the oldest guy to ever be this trendy.
Hillary Clinton would love to support gays, but she can't, mainly because she just doesn't want to.
And Kim Davis, just one more American who doesn't know the Pope.
We'll have all this and more.
This is Brain Trust Live. Hey guys, I'm Brent.
I'm Lila, and you can find us on the web at www.braintrustlive.com.
That's right.
That's where you should go.
The site is really coming along.
The site's coming along. I think we're going to premiere it this week, so stay tuned for that.
Yeah.
If you love web design changes, you'll love this.
I mean, anything is a step in the right direction.
Anything. Yeah, we're not the kinds of web designing mavens that you might expect two people that refer to themselves as geniuses all the time would be. But here we are.
That's true. But you must be, though, because you figured it out.
I know. I think that I might be
genius. Just in case you're wondering. I mean, I'm going to take some of the credit when we post it.
Well, of course you are. But no. This was a situation in which I sat and stared at my computer until I basically, bored a hole through it. And then I was like, we're going to pay for a service.
Yeah. That's
and that's how it worked.
Yeah.
In any case.
Yeah.
This week was a week filled with news things.
That's it.
Yeah. Most sort of interestingly and ridiculously, these Planned Parenthood hearings.
I mean, come on.
This is too much.
It was so crazy. This hearing, this congressional
hearing. It was five hours long,
and they just made total asses of
total
themselves.
Total asses.
The Republicans.
She got asked a question, and I can't remember which representative did this, but it was a GOP representative, and she got asked a question and started to answer, and he said, no, this is my
this
time.
This is my time. Yes.
Like, oh.
Uh-huh. Yep.
You just asked that. Was that question rhetorical, and it was not clear?
What? Yeah. Uh-huh.
Are rhetorical questions a worthwhile thing to be doing at a congressional hearing?
Yeah.
No. But so in any case, these were all related to those Planned Parenthood videos that were fake.
Right.
That were going, you know, that claimed that Planned Parenthood was like selling fetal tissue or something ridiculous.
And what was so interesting is that's why these hearings sort of happened. But then they didn't really talk about them much.
No.
It really just became like a very anti-abortion and also just
anti-women's health.
Because
here's the thing, you know, they talk about how Planned Parenthood gets $500 million in annual federal funding. That's coming in the form of Medicare reimbursements.
Yeah.
So that's not just like money that we've forked over to Planned Parenthood for being great people. This is money that we're paying them for a service that they've provided for people that are so poor that they require government health care.
They get reimbursed like a doctor's office would for anyone who is using Medicare as their health care provider,
so
basically.
The question is not really whether they're getting federal funding. They're getting federal funding because they're providing a service to the government that we're then paying them for.
Right.
And the question is also not whether or not any of that money is going towards abortion services,
because
that has already been banned. So they are not. None of that money is going towards
going to women's health.
It's going towards women's health services.
Yeah.
Which is a thing that since
STD 50... STD testing.
Right.
They do
cancer screenings. Things like that.
Yeah.
Things that are required for all women, whether or not they have abortions.
Correct.
In the world.
Yes.
And we're going to talk in a little bit about the fact that a lot of their claims that Planned Parenthood, you know, that those services are offered elsewhere are false. There's, for the most part, especially for lower income women, those services are not available elsewhere.
Yeah.
Planned Parenthood is one of the only providers that A, accepts Medicare and Medicaid funding in order to provide those services, and also is accessible to most women.
Right.
In any case, Jason Chaffetz was having none of it, though, because he wanted to make it clear that what Planned Parenthood really is a way to overpay Cecile Richards and throw lavish parties.
Right.
That was most of his questioning began with claims that she was, A, making too much money.
Right.
And listen.
Thanks. The Democrats really came to her defense there, too, which was good, because she didn't need their help, but it was nice that they came to her defense.
Well,
because
the questions were so clearly gendered questions.
I was going to say, you would never have say that to a man who was running an organization like this.
No, of course not.
You wouldn't accuse them of being paid too much.
No.
No.
That would be so absurdly disrespectful.
Yes.
Carolyn Maloney, among other Democrats, stepped in and was like,
come on.
Slow your roll.
Yeah.
Like, this is not an appropriate line of questioning. But so in any case, He then, after talking about how much money she was making, also accused Planned Parenthood of spending $40 million on parties and travel expenses and office space, which, first of all, they have a lot of fucking offices.
They have offices
so
everywhere.
So I wouldn't be surprised if they had spent millions of dollars on office space.
Yeah.
Second of all, they're a nonprofit which spends money on parties where they invite celebrity guests to endorse their things. They spend money on events with celebrities to raise awareness.
Right.
These are things that most nonprofits that are especially ones as large as Planned Parenthood does. I was actually kind of surprised by how little money they seem to spend on this stuff because a lot of organizations, a lot of nonprofits that you deal with spend literal millions of dollars on fundraising parties and, you know, celebrity appearances and things like that, because that's kind of part of your PR campaign as an organization that, you know, you want to make sure A, exists against this much political fire, but also is available, like that women who need the services are aware that they can get them there.
Yeah.
So it's partially like an advertising thing. In any case, he goes on a long ramble about that. Then a ton of other GOP Congress people sort of like got into the mix, mostly men, by the way. This was, this was all men attacking Cecile Richards.
Yes.
Go in where they basically just like didn't let her talk, and then she had to talk over them to answer questions, and it kind of culminated in this hilarious chart situation that I think that we saw in Rachel Maddow, but I had seen the chart itself elsewhere, I think.
Yeah.
Where Chaffetz is like trying to claim that Planned Parenthood is increasing the number of abortions it provides and decreasing the number of breast cancer screenings it provides.
Right.
And puts this hokey-looking chart up that is just two lines going in arbitrary directions.
Right.
Showing supposedly the decrease in screenings and the increase in abortions.
Yeah.
Turns out, A, that he was not aware or was lying about the source of that information because he claims it came from Planned Parenthood themselves.
He tells Cecile Richards to her face that it came from their own report, from Planned Parenthood's like own, you know, documents or whatever.
Right. And turns out to people with eyes that there was a source listed on the chart that was a pro-life group.
On the actual chart. Right. Yeah, so her lawyer whispers into her ear and was like, oh, my lawyer tells me that this chart is from wherever the hell
it's American
from.
Pro-Life Institute. Or some...
But on top of that, the chart is just two arbitrary lines going in opposite directions because
there's no
y-axis. So like there's numbers associated with these lines, but
X on a chart.
Correct. Yes.
They're not correlated to any sort of quantity.
No.
In any way. Yeah. It's not how charts are made.
It's not how charts work.
Yeah. No, it's so, that's so just simple good. Mathematics, so guys. Good. But so in any case, then on Wednesday, the House holds their hearing. The House hearing, by the way, was titled Planned Parenthood Exposed, Examining the Horrific Abortion Practices at the Nation's Largest Abortion Provider.
Yes.
And it's Trent Franks who opens the floor with long-winded comments about fetal pain.
Mm.
This is a common refrain from pro-life men who are not familiar with science. Where he basically says that they're using, quote, much more painful methods like partial birth abortion to preserve these fetal organs that are supposedly for sale. He said more than 18,000 late-term pain-capable unborn babies were torturously killed without anesthesia in America last year. Many of them cried and screamed as they died. He would know this, of course, as a person who knows a lot about the specific practice of partial birth abortion, as they call it, or late-term abortion, as science calls it.
Well, I think also I feel like Cecile Richards also said, too, that I think in terms of these types of abortions,
they're
very rare, and they are only done
in case that the mother's life is in danger.
Yes.
That is how, that has always, nobody, first of all, waits until 6 months into their pregnancy to be like, nah, I don't think I wanted this baby anyway. Yeah. Like, that's not a thing.
No.
But also, medical consensus. That's the consensus of doctors.
Doctors, real life doctors.
As opposed to just good God-fearing men. is that the systems necessary to sense pain don't develop into the until a fetus is basically born. Like, until you're basically about to, like, come out of your mother.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have the ability to feel pain as a fetus. So any claims that fetuses are, like, screaming bloody murder as they... Like, that's not a true thing that's happening
out
there.
Yeah, that's not happening.
And this is a claim that he's used in the past, because he also introduced a 20-week ban on abortion, calling it the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act.
Mm, mm-hmm.
It's like the Happy Rainbow Act that cuts, you know, that raises your taxes or whatever.
Yeah.
But also, they called this ridiculous witness, who's been in the news before. Her name is Jonna Jessen. And she's apparently just an expert because her mother almost had an abortion and then didn't.
Yes. This is a classic.
She's the classic expert of a person who maybe would have been aborted.
Yes.
Jeb Bush, I believe, has referred to her or some other figure that also is one of these people.
Yeah.
But, or no, Donald Trump has referred to, I think it was her, but it could have been someone else, saying that he was pro-choice until he met a person who had almost been aborted, and they were lovely, so he decided he's against abortion.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Like, that's like, this is not a thing, guys. But so, in any case, she repeats the argument that you hear all the time, that there are facilities capable of dealing with women's health elsewhere. And the New York Times recently did a report that finds that that's basically not true.
Yes.
That most of the women who, most women that are under 150% of the poverty line, like, rely on services like Planned Parenthood to get their care.
What's the statistic that I feel like I was reading recently? It was either like 1 in 4 or 1 in 5.
Four out of five Planned Parenthood patients are 150%.
Right. Well, and I think like 1 in 5 women are getting in general have been to Planned Parenthood for something.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure it's more than that. I mean, this is one of the most common women's healthcare providers out there.
Yeah.
But also, 2/3 of states have said that they have difficulties finding enough providers to provide women's health care.
Right. Well,
so Planned Parenthood in many cases is the only option.
Well, and so many states are also trying to, you know, place these crazy restrictions on other places who provide. You know,
yeah,
what I mean,
exactly.
Having to say that they have to have access to go, or they have to have clearance to like go to a hospital or things like that.
Right.
Like they're,
they close women's health clinics all the time under the guise of closing abortion clinics.
Right.
And 40% of women on Medicaid rely on Planned Parenthood for their contraception.
Yeah.
40%.
Yeah.
That's not a non-felt impact out there in the world. But also, as we said before, this is not the only service that Planned Parenthood provides. They provide a whole host of women's healthcare services.
Yeah.
And that's what most of their services are.
Right.
Is women's healthcare services. Yeah. So in any case, these claims at these hearings were grossly overstating the prevalence of abortions, first of all. They were grossly conflating abortions with other healthcare services for women. They just made clear that these Republican men hate women, basically.
Exactly.
It was mostly just about how they don't think that taxpayers should offer healthcare to women.
Right. Well, and I think what was, so, you know, first off, most everybody sort of like roundly agreed that these hearings were like a total embarrassment for the Republicans. The other thing that I think that I learned so much about what Planned Parenthood did this week because of this that I did not know. I did not know that they were getting reimbursed as part of, you know, Medicare reimbursement,
right,
as opposed to just like getting a bunch of money from the federal government. I did not realize, in terms of at least the fetal tissue research that they're doing, I did not realize that the mothers had to authorize that. Like, if you're getting an abortion, you basically have to sign off on having your fetus used for that. And also, I feel like this week we learned a lot of things that we get from that type of research too. Like,
I did not know
a lot of the types of, like, I feel
the
like
benefits
this
of fetal
only
tissue
really
research.
This was a real winning week for Planned Parenthood. I mean, right. Cecile Richards,
you learned just how important
she had to go through, like, being berated for 5 hours. So I feel bad for her.
Right, for
but,
her
like,
personally,
for
I feel
her
terrible.
Personally, but like, I feel like as
this
far
is
as
the week
America
that America
goes,
learned
like,
how important Planned Parenthood is.
Bingo.
I do want to talk about the number of media outlets that referred to it as an abortion giant.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Like, that's not right.
No. I feel like as far as, you know, on some level, like, that's right only in the sense that, like, it is one organization, like,
that is,
nationwide that does that. So, yes, like, they probably do the most abortions, but they're, like, one entity. So, it's like, of course they're doing the most.
They are a giant in the abortion scene. They are not an abortion giant themselves.
Yes, exactly.
They are, they are a large organization that provides abortions in a lot of places.
That's not the majority of what they do.
No,
exactly. That's
also, who
that's
the fuck cares
important.
If it was the majority of what
it's
they
legal.
Do? It's legal. If people want to get fucking abortions, that's their business.
That's the other thing that I feel like so many people were saying rightly this week. It's sort of like, you know, all these Republicans wanted to attack Planned Parenthood for, like, for giving abortions. That's legal.
That's legal. And you are allowed to go to an organization that provides those services and pay them to give you an abortion.
That's right.
That is what happens here. The government isn't paying them to give you an abortion because they have already banned that. They already shot themselves in the foot by banning that because not a single dollar of those of that taxpayer money that's going towards reimbursements is going towards abortion services.
Right.
It should be. But it's not.
But it's not.
So, too bad.
Yeah. Anyway.
In any case, this really shook up the House
speakers. It did. Jason...
Too.
Chaffetz really saw his opening after the win that he had at these Planned Parenthood.
Well, it was a win in conservative circles.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
Everything that was a blatant lie that he repeated is something that is constantly, you know, repeated in Republican
circles. Oh, exactly.
So he had a win, and also it sort of solidified him as the leader of a movement that is kind of the most, like, the biggest force in the shutdown movement.
Yes.
That's because he, you know, he
wants to be the voice of the shutdown movement in the House.
Exactly.
Therefore,
he wants to both say that he's not going to be the voice of the shutdown movement, as he said, and then also be the voice of the shutdown movement.
With them.
Right.
Yes.
I mean, that's, you know, he's been leading this Planned Parenthood fight in the House the whole time.
Yeah.
That's his opening. The whole point of the Planned Parenthood fight is to not fund the government. They don't give two shits about women's health care.
No.
It's not, I mean, they care sort of about limiting options for women because they hate women, but what they really care about is making sure that there's no government. So
yes.
That's what this has all been about the whole time.
Yeah.
It's like how Obamacare was a scapegoat for not wanting to have a government.
This is a debt ceiling battle that they're
this
having.
This is a debt
right
ceiling
now.
Battle.
Yeah.
He's leading the debt ceiling battle. That's
it.
That's what's happening here.
Yeah.
So he sees his opening. He goes on Fox News Sunday, announces his candidacy. Now poor Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy is like,
I know.
The fuck am I going to do? Because he had a big gaffe this week that we're about to talk about. So there's been an opening.
So there could be a real... And Kevin McCarthy has no... He's not a shoe-in for this.
He's not a shoe-in.
I mean,
he's here's the thing.
Certainly has the... Probably the, you know, the easiest route. But,
right.
He can't lose very many votes on top of the people who already have voted against Boehner once.
Exactly.
So,
and Chaffetz is claiming that there's, like, 50 people who aren't going to vote for him. He can't lose more than 29 votes.
Right.
Boehner lost 25.
Right.
So Boehner was just, you know, just sneak, you know... Snuck
just got out, in there.
Sneaked, eked.
Yeah.
I don't know. And now I've lost sense of what word. I've been having trouble with words this week, guys. But so, in any case, this is all going on. The Tea Party, the 50 Tea Party Congress people are the ones that are holding it up. Because in order to get elected Speaker, you have to get a majority of votes in the House as a whole. You need to first have the party support you. And he has a majority of party support. But
right.
He does not have a majority of House support because of these 50 nutbags.
Yeah.
So, there's this opening, and then Kevin McCarthy does this.
Yikes.
He goes on Sean Hannity.
Hannity.
Where you would go to be an idiot, I guess.
Yep.
It's a safe haven for idiots.
Yeah.
He's asked about Benghazi, and he says, and I quote, "Everybody thought Hillary Clinton was unbeatable, right? But we put together a Benghazi special committee, a select committee. What are her numbers today? Her numbers are dropping. Why? Because she's untrustable. But no one would have known that it happened." He basically openly admits that they are strategically trying to discredit Hillary Clinton through these Benghazi proceedings.
Yes.
That the Benghazi proceedings are nothing but political theory.
They're not trying to get to the bottom of anything.
They don't give
to do
a shit about what happened in Benghazi.
They don't.
Hey, we already know what happened in Benghazi.
They're trying to take Hillary Clinton
They're
down.
Trying to take Hillary Clinton down. And he basically admits that.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, oh, fuck. Because you're not supposed to say it.
You're not, no.
You're supposed to know not to say it.
Everybody can know it.
Everyone knows it.
But you don't say it on the TV.
No. That's blasphemy. So, in any case, he says that, and the far right flips their fucking shit.
Yes.
And so, in any case, now he's got to go speak to the House Freedom Caucus and the Republican Study Committee, two hilarious after-school clubs that the Republicans belong to.
What are they studying? Let's
not
be
facts.
Honest. No.
Not facts. The House Freedom Caucus might be studying freedom, though.
They
seem like they would be up to that.
Yeah.
They're out to rename French things. The word freedom. You know, they're probably the people that brought us freedom fries. So,
probably. Yeah.
In any case, he's got to go meet with them next week. The other, Daniel Webster, who is a Florida Republican who is also declared, has also been invited to go meet with them.
Yeah.
And Chaffetz was invited just in case he declared, which he just did. So now he's going to go meet with them as well.
Yeah.
And it seems like McCarthy might have a hard time convincing them that he's the right guy to sort of shepherd their conservative values forward into the new light of insanity.
Yeah.
Because Chaffetz was really... sort of, I think, not clever, but he sort of walked a line in what he claimed his strategy would be. He didn't say much about what he thought about his leadership style. He said that he was running because other House members had encouraged him to, and that he would bring all conservative bills for a vote, even if they weren't going to pass, that he was sick of this sort of behind-the-scenes vote gathering that goes on.
Right.
That's how the House works, P.S. bringing lots of votes to get turned down so that everyone can go on the record voting no on an absurd bill is not... Nobody cares about that.
No.
But that's a tactic that they like to use to generate sort of to basically like blackmail other members into voting, you know, who know ultimately that they shouldn't probably vote against further deregulation in the gun control battle, but like then also don't want to go back to their states and be like, yeah, I voted for against deregulating guns. Yeah. He also said though that he would be willing to use these sort of brinkmanship tactics, but that he didn't actually say he was willing to support a shutdown over the Planned Parenthood thing. No. I think he is.
He is.
He didn't say any conditions for what he wants for this next debt ceiling fight, except that he doesn't want to borrow money from China, which is like, oh,
okay,
really?
Sure.
That's okay. What a surprise. But so, in any case, he is sort of rounding up a lot of the far right and came in at the behest of the far right. Kevin McCarthy is sort of a middle ground guy. We don't really know what his tactics would be, but we do know that he's probably not in favor of these brinkmanship tactics because he's a real peacemaker kind of guy. He's a wheeler dealer.
This is going to be interesting.
This is going to be really interesting.
I'm excited about
this. I know.
You know how I love a good intra-party war?
Oh, yes.
It's one of my favorites.
And they've been providing so many of those.
They have.
They really are.
I feel like this could really... This could be where it happens.
It blows
up.
You
know, we hear a lot about these two sides and people have been mad at Boehner and things like that and they've threatened to... you know, to try and oust him before, but now he's gone. This could really be where we get to see all of
what
the
happened.
Shenanigans.
Well, and we should, again, be clear that this is really 40 to 50 Tea Partiers controlling the entire rest of the party.
Right.
There are 200 and some odd members of the Republican Party in the House. There's 200 and...
18,
you need 208. I think there's 250 or something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's 250 of them or something like that. And this is... So this is like a fifth or less of their party is basically holding the rest of them hostage.
Yeah.
So it is sort of interesting because as much as those votes are needed in order to... confirm anybody?
Yeah.
They are not even a little bit in the majority.
No, not even close.
Not even close.
No.
As many nutbags as there are, they're just, not even...
Right.
So it's sort of an interesting...
The loudest people in the room.
They're the loudest people in the room, but it's going to be an interesting battle,
but also the dumbest people in the room.
They're the dumbest... Also, they're suicidal.
They are.
They really don't care about what happens.
Yeah.
Because they're playing chicken with everyone all the time.
Yeah.
And that's... How would you be a staff member for someone like that who is like literally ready to purposely make you lose your job just to prove a dumb political point?
Yeah,
after they have bought into the system of government by becoming someone who is a member of it. It's bonkers.
Yeah.
Here's what else is bonkers. We had another fucking mass shooting. It's like how many of these, and it got to the point, and we say this every time, I guess, but like it was not interesting to me to watch news coverage of this because I was just like, I have seen this all before. I have seen the responses before. I have seen Obama have to get up and be like, well, we're not going to do anything, so what am I here for?
I know.
You know, I've seen everyone on the news be like, we got to do something, but we can't. Oh, well. That's all we do now is we just get on the news and we're like, something needs to be done, but nothing will get done, so oh, well.
That's it.
And that's all the response that we got here.
Yeah.
So, you know, 10 people were killed, 9 people were injured.
Yeah, it was at a community college.
Community college in Oregon. The shooter killed himself, obviously.
Right, after he killed these people and then had like a brief shootout with the police, he killed himself.
A 26-year-old white male. Mm-hmm. What a surprise.
Yep.
You guys are so dangerous. I don't know how you live with yourself.
I know, right? Seriously.
So dangerous.
He had an arsenal in his home. He had a huge arsenal. He had 13 weapons. He had 6 of them, including a semi-automatic rifle, and then 5 handguns and a bunch of extra magazines of ammunition at the crime scene, at school with him. But then when the police went to his home, they found that he had 7 additional guns. He had 13 guns.
That's too many.
Which is too many.
That's more guns than you need.
And
there were a lot of now we're sort of getting into the numbers game because we have these mass shootings all the time.
Yeah.
And there have been something like 294 mass shootings in the last 273 days or something.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, since the beginning of this year, we've had more mass shootings than days.
Right. Yes, exactly. And we've had this is the 45th school shooting this year. This is also Obama has not had one single week in his second term that didn't have a mass shooting.
It's like crazy to hear words like that coming out of anyone's
isn't it
crazy?
It really is. I know.
Like we are living. We have to live here.
I know. I saw someone. I can't remember. This was like a tweet from. I can't remember who it was, but it was. it gets passed around every once in a while because it was from some reporter or somebody, but it was sort of like, you know, once we decided that we could kill this many elementary school students,
like, right, then like there was no answer
at that point. So it's sort of like we already as a country decided that that was okay.
Exactly.
So why, I mean, right. 10 people at a community college. I mean, like, that's just Thursday. Right. I mean, you know,
exactly.
Like,
no, that's
and that's
literally just Thursday here.
Fucking
insane.
Insane. Well, and
there's also another graphic that I saw that breaks down the strength of gun control laws and the number of mass shootings per 100,000 people.
Of course.
And you very clearly see how effective gun control laws are. You know, when you see the states that are having you know, 19 mass shootings per 100,000 people, or 19 gun deaths per 100,000 people, those are states that don't have any gun control laws.
Right.
You see states that have maybe six deaths per 100,000 people, gun deaths. Those are all the states, first of all, that have the largest cities with the most urban crime.
Right.
Like, we're talking about states like New York and California and Chicago. States where they have huge cities that are supposedly where all the gun deaths happen.
Right.
Except that they don't have all the gun deaths there because they have gun control. You can't carry a concealed weapon in those states, and you can't buy, you know, a weapon without a background check. Right.
We learn that it was, like, Louisiana who has the most, like, gun deaths or something this week? It's some state.
It's a
like
state
that
doesn't have any gun control laws. None. Yeah. It's a state where you can just walk into any dumb store and buy a gun and then shoot everyone in the store.
Yeah.
But so there is a very clear correlation between gun control and not having mass shootings.
Yeah.
But
one, it is in other countries, too.
I mean, right. Australia comes up every time we have one of these because those jokers figured out how to deal with this problem.
Yeah. After
they had a school shooting, one school shooting, they were like, you know what? No. This is not acceptable.
Yeah. That's not the plan.
That's not what we do here.
Yeah.
But here, it is what we do. It's what we do everywhere. It's what we do all the time.
Yeah.
We're all going to die in horrible mass shootings because we can't be bothered to do anything about it.
And you know what you know what got me really mad this week? Because, like, I feel like, you know, we always talk about this, like, the Democrats want to talk about, like, you know, actual gun control, and the Republicans want to talk about mental health care. And you know what?
Let's talk about mental health
care. That's what I was going to say. I am now to the point where if that is what they think the answer is, then let's get that bill passed.
Right.
Like, I am now willing to, like, let the Republicans fucking have it, which is a sad state.
No, but like, I mean, you know, listen, we don't have mental health care services here. So the worst that happens is we still have mass shootings, and at least we have some mental health services
for
people.
It seems like that's...
We currently don't have either.
That's their answer to, like, shutting down the Democrats, talking about wanting gun control.
Let them try it.
You've got both the House and the Senate, and I bet President Obama would sign it. Yeah. At this point, he's fed up because he's tired of talking about this. He'll sign any bill that has anything to do with something that might get him to have to stop talking about these gun deaths all the time.
Yeah. No, I mean...
So, like, let's have that then.
Yeah.
I'll give it to you.
Yeah.
No, write up a bill.
Well, and this is, I think, their diversion tactic, but also, like, we have to call their bluff at some point. They don't want to pass mental health care either.
No, they don't.
They
don't
want to do it all the time. So, this is not... And what was interesting about the response among the presidential candidates is that they basically said, we don't want to do anything. I mean, we're going to talk about how they could have also worded that more artfully. Yeah. But, I mean, Jeb Bush got up and said, we shouldn't do anything.
Yeah.
Donald Trump got up and said, we shouldn't do anything except further deregulate guns.
Yeah.
These are things that legitimate contenders, well, not legitimate in the case of Bush, but legitimate in the case of Trump, unfortunately, got up and said.
Yeah.
The person who didn't get up and say that is the father of the guy who shot everyone.
Yes.
Who was like, how the fuck did this guy get so many guns?
Yeah, exactly.
He was basically like, it is not... great that he wanted all of those guns, but it is our fault that we gave them to him.
Yeah, exactly. He said, we talk about gun laws, we talk about gun control. Every time something like this happens, they talk about it and nothing gets done. I'm not trying to say that it's to blame for what happened, but if Chris had not been able to get a hold of 13 guns, this wouldn't have happened.
True story.
Correct.
So,
and you don't need 13 guns to go hunting. I know that. You can only shoot...
One gun at a time. Yeah.
And
here's the other thing. You've never needed a semi-automatic weapon to go hunting.
Yeah.
I mean, we say this every time, and we're not expert hunters, but we even know that.
You're only hunting people with a semi-automatic weapon.
That's deer are idiots, and they're everywhere.
That's right.
So you can shoot deer with a fork. I mean...
One bullet.
One bullet is all it takes.
Well placed.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's the sport of hunting, friends.
Yeah.
And listen, I get it. There are too many fucking deer. We need to get rid of a lot of these deer. We are the only predators of deer at this point. That has never once, to me, been the equivalent of us needing any sort of first of all, semi-automatic or automatic weaponry, but any more than one solitary gun per household if you live in a place where that's a sport thing that you like to do.
Right.
Because I personally don't want anyone to have any guns, as we've discussed also many times on this podcast.
Right.
I'm in favor of all the guns being taken away by government goons.
That's right.
And we'll direct you again to our
blog.
Beautiful blog post about this issue, where we masterfully talk about how great it would be if we just got rid of all the guns.
It's inspired.
And the moral of that piece is that you just don't need to have guns.
That's right.
You could just not have them, and then no one dies.
Right.
In any case, Bush's response, as we just said, was infuriating.
Yes.
Stuff happens, guys.
That's it. Stuff
happens.
Happens.
Sometimes, you know, a mass shooting happens and 20 children die and shit happens. What are you going to do?
Yep.
His full quote is, and people kept being like, in context, it's not so bad. I think it's worse in context, and I'll tell you why in a sec.
Please.
We're in a difficult time in our country, and I don't think more government is necessarily the answer to this. I think we need to reconnect ourselves with everybody else. It's very sad to see, but I resist the notion, and I had this challenge as governor because we had, look, stuff happens. There's always a crisis, and the impulse is always to do something, and it's not necessarily the right thing to do. Here's the thing. We've had years of experience doing nothing.
That's right.
That hasn't been the right thing to do.
Correct.
We know unequivocally that not doing anything is not the right thing to do.
Right.
The only option at that point is to do something.
Yes.
Like, we have tried not doing anything. We've very successfully tried. We're there. We did nothing. And this is still happening.
Yep.
People are still dying.
Yep.
That's one thing we know to be true.
That's right.
The only thing we don't know is what would happen if we tried to do something.
That's right.
And at this point,
and we can't know until we try.
We can't know until we try.
Yeah.
But also, I feel like the idea of putting this back on, because this is something that Republicans love to do, where they put it back on individuals, like, we're just not connecting as people. Like, what the fuck does that mean?
I know,
it's
right?
infuriating to me that he would get up after any school shooting anywhere and say, we should do nothing.
Yeah.
That's more infuriating to me than him saying stuff happens.
I agree.
Because
yes, I agree.
That's more offensive.
Yes.
Like, stuff does happen. Stuff like 10 people dying at a school shooting that could have been avoided if someone didn't have 13 guns in their fucking arsenal in their house.
Yeah.
That does happen. Stuff happens all the time. You know, that all kinds of stuff. Stuff city. What doesn't have to happen all the time is fucking people having arsenals and shooting each other.
That's right.
That doesn't have to happen at all.
Sure doesn't.
Doesn't have to happen anywhere.
No.
And
it doesn't anywhere except for here.
And it doesn't anywhere except for here.
Yeah.
Trump, who I'm sort of like, this is one of those issues he like does not care about. He's from New York City. He doesn't actually hate gun control. He can't. He would die. He would be dead right now if it weren't for gun control. He's one of the most hated people in New York City. There is no way that if we had no gun control in New York City, Donald Trump, during his fourth bankruptcy hearing, would have survived.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a thing.
Yeah.
So, Donald Trump is only alive thanks to the good graces of gun control. And this is not a man who, like, this is like when he talks about abortion. He doesn't care about abortion. He has to have an opinion about abortion. He's running in the Republican primary.
Exactly.
He's running on a sort of crackpot series of issues. He doesn't care about women's health, so he just sort of like, you know, he's a misogynistic prick. So he says what's convenient. And this is what he's doing here.
He adores women, though.
He adores women.
Or whatever it is.
Except for fat pigs or whatever. You know, like,
I know.
He only adores thin, beautiful women.
Yes, that's right.
But he got up and said the same thing. He said, I can tell you people say, oh, we're going to stop it. It doesn't work that way. This has taken place, whether it's this type of crime or other crimes, taken place forever, from the beginning. Not sure. And you go out a million years from now and you're going to have problems. And even then, if you have a very tough system, we're going to have people that slip through the cracks. And it's a sad situation. But no matter what you do, you'll have problems. And that's the way the world goes.
That's the way the world goes.
Shit happens. Stuff happens.
No,
the answer is not to do anything.
That's the way America goes.
That's the way America goes, because we have proven that this is not a stuff happens situation.
Right.
This is a we can do something to fix this situation.
Yes.
Then in a separate interview, he also goes on to say, that these shooters happen to be intelligent. And, you know, they can be sick as hell, and they're geniuses in a certain way. They're going to be able to break the system. So really what we should do, I guess, is respect them for their genius.
That's right. Yes.
That's the answer.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I mean, I get his own gun control. I mean, his own gun platform is insane. He just wants to lift bans on semi-automatic weapons and nationwide allow concealed carry and have no background checks.
Yeah.
But he also doesn't understand the issue at all, because he's lived in a protected environment from this issue this whole time.
Yeah.
So he's just an asshat, which we already knew.
We knew.
So whatever.
Yeah, he's a blow-up.
Jeb Bush, I believe, should know better. Trump, he's lived in a protected world where he doesn't understand guns because he probably never deals with them. I've never held a gun. I grew up in New York City. I've never held a gun in my life.
Yeah.
I've seen guns from afar in places that were not New York City. I've never seen a gun on anyone except for a cop in New York City.
And that probably surprises people, actually, too, who are not, who are listening in places that are not New York City.
Never.
Are probably surprised to learn that as a resident of New York, everyone wasn't going around shooting everyone all the time.
Here's another thing. I never worried about a school shooting at my school. We had no metal detectors. We had no way of detecting a gun. We were very stressed out. There was not going to be a school shooting while I was at Stuyvesant. That was not a thing that I worried about. Columbine happened while I was there. And I thought to myself, this is scary, but it's not going to happen here.
Yeah.
And I could make that connection because I knew that most of my friends had never seen or held guns, that this was not part of our world. And that's because we have fucking strong gun control laws in New York City.
Yeah.
You know, and this is even as much as we've had gang issues in Southern California and we have violence issues in LA because it's one of the largest cities in the country.
You don't hear about school shootings here.
You don't hear about school shootings here. And also, I have not seen a gun here on anyone outside of a police officer. You know, that happens. I know it happens. It happens in New York City.
Our murder rate is low.
But our murder rate is low. And frankly, this is not a part of guns are not a part of the everyday lives of regular people here. They might be a part of the everyday lives of gang members. That is a poverty issue more than it is a societal gun-loving issue. It's a poverty and education issue. It's a drug issue.
Yeah.
It has to do with communities that are not being invested in.
Yeah.
It's about communities where there's no opportunity.
Right.
It is not a problem of LA in general and LA proper in so far as it affects all of us. It unfortunately doesn't affect all of us, because if it affected all of us, we probably wouldn't let it happen to the people that it does happen to.
Correct.
But my point is that in all of these places, there is no gun culture, and because of that, I have not run into this problem.
Yeah, we're not going around shooting.
But now every fucking day, I have to worry more about it because it's like it's growing and spreading to new places.
Yeah,
because it's becoming such a big phenomenon. Because we've had some of those school shootings here now, like not at the school, not at the elementary school level. But we had that San Diego shooter.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
I mean, we have army people in California. We have guns in California.
Yeah, of
but
course.
We have regulated guns in LA.
Yeah.
So because of that, they're not just being free. They're not flying out everywhere.
Correct. Yes.
And so we're not seeing them everywhere.
We're always having like gun buybacks.
The we city have gun is buybacks.
Gun buybacks.
You can even sell your grenade launcher back as someone tried to do.
You can get a Ralph's gift card.
You can get a Ralph's gift card
for a grenade launcher if you want.
Yeah. No, these are programs that work.
Yes.
You can see on the chart of the per capita gun deaths.
Yeah, a real chart with a y-axis.
A real chart with a y-axis. You can see that these programs work.
Yeah.
So it's just crazy. It's crazy.
To think that doing nothing is the answer.
Yeah. And I'm sorry. I know Jeb Bush wasn't the Yale man that George W. was.
No.
But he should know.
He should. Yes.
In any case.
Oh, God.
Here's some good news.
Good news,
Bernie Sanders is fucking killing it.
He's still killing it, you guys. Oh, my God.
I thought this was going to end at some point soon, because I was like, this has to peter out at some point.
It's only getting better.
Yeah, it gets better every second.
Because this week he had, so yesterday he had a rally in Boston of 20,000 people in Boston, which is the record for a primary campaign rally there. He doubled the amount that Obama had in 2008, because he had this huge...
And I want to point out that when I first read this, I thought, 20,000, because he had a bigger rally rally in Oregon.
In Oregon, so I know, right?
I was just 20,000
in Boston?
Exactly.
I know.
We should remind you also that Boston's actually a teeny tiny, hilariously small city, that is actually a lot of people. But in any case, he's bested Obama, and he's also had a huge fundraising quarter.
Yeah, the candidates released their third quarter fundraising numbers this week, and his were massive. He raised $26 million, and Hillary Clinton only raised $28 million. That's obviously not all of her.
Right, she has super PAC money that he doesn't have, because he doesn't have a super PAC.
Right, exactly. But that is insane. And not only that, he became the fastest by a long shot to get to 1 million donations.
He
had 1.3 million donors, and Obama was currently the record holder for that in 2008, and he didn't get there until February. Yeah. So he beat him by 5 months.
That's bonkers, because that's a million people who are not just pledging money to him.
Yeah.
But the more donors you have, even if they're small donors, the more votes you have.
Well, exactly. Well, and it's 1.3 million donations, so it's not 1.3 million people.
From 650,000 individuals.
And that's also a record,
That's still
though,
the
too.
Record,
That's
yeah.
still the record. So no. it's... amount of donations and amount of people he set the record for. 650,000 people gave that man money.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are doing it, obviously, multiple amounts of times. Most people obviously did it twice, because
And they're small donors.
Yeah, so like 99% of the donation. People. The average was $30, and 99% of the donations were under $100.
Yeah. So no, that's a sign that regular people are so excited about this that they're giving money to a campaign that, you know, that wouldn't necessarily have even figured into, you know, like, these people are not people who were going to otherwise donate to Hillary.
I mean, I think on some level you sort of have to stop thinking of this as, you know,
an upstart,
insurgent campaign. I mean, he is running a very, very, very solid second place to her and is almost winning the first two primary states.
Exactly.
So
that's a legitimate contender.
That's a legitimate contender. Like, this is not just some sort of, like, fringe guy who's out, like, on some speaking tour.
No, and I think we have to stop considering his points of view fringe at this point.
Well, I do. Well, because they're not. Exactly.
But, I mean, that's something that within the Democratic Party, we have to really start to vocally acknowledge. And Hillary Clinton has sort of here and there tried to co-opt his ideas. But I feel like I want to know that there are people in Democratic leadership that are saying to themselves, Bernie Sanders is not representing fringe ideas. He is representing what the base of our party wants to see. How can we reflect those values?
And I also think everybody needs to really thoroughly get over the fact that they don't think that he can win a general election, because poll after poll has shown that is not the case.
Exactly.
So, I mean,
poor Bernie.
It's good stuff.
He does not want this at all. This is not his plan. Poor guy.
Yeah.
Sometimes, though, your nation calls you.
That's right.
It's like when he did the filibuster. I feel like he had a very sensible attitude towards that. He was like, listen, I realize I'm a million years old. Someone has to do it. I'm going to have to be the guy because no one else is the guy.
That's right.
Sometimes you have to sacrifice 8 hours of your day to standing and talking about nothing for 8 hours because that's what you have to do. And he, unlike other people, did not talk about nothing at his filibuster. He talked about the issue the whole damn time. It was exhausting, but he did it.
I know.
It was a thrilling 8 hours of television.
It was. Yeah.
So in any case, the first Democratic debate is coming up.
It's coming up, and they're all going to be there. They changed the rules, basically.
Jim Webb wants to show up. If
one person has said that they're going to vote for you in a poll, then you can come. So all five of them can come.
Are showing up. I'm curious to see what Jim Webb looks like.
Well, he looks like an angry Republican.
He looks like an angry Republican because he is one.
Bingo. But they also changed the rules to basically
to desperately try to entice Joe Biden,
and he's already said that he's not coming, but they changed the rules that you could announce the day of the debate and still show up. They'd find a podium for Joe Biden.
What if I announce?
Exactly.
I'd like to show up.
They could poll me.
Yeah, exactly. You're my one person.
That's it.
I could be at the debates.
Yeah.
I would love to be at the debates. I think I'd be a good person to be at the debates. They don't have enough women on stage.
They don't, no.
I mean, we're still living in a world, I want to point out, where there is only one female contender on each side.
Yes.
Now, that's more troubling on the Republican side because they started with 17 contenders and only one of them is a woman.
20% of ours are
20% of ours are women. And the front runner is a woman.
Right.
But we still only have one female candidate. I was saying to Brent at brunch, I am going to be excited for the day when two women can run against each other for president and have not have that be a spectacle. Because can you imagine that right now? I can't.
I don't know what that looks like. Or where it would be okay that two women were on the same ticket with each other. Because a lot of people are like, oh, you know, like Hillary and Warren, you know, like as if that would ever be a thing anyway. Right. But it's like,
but I mean,
that couldn't be a thing.
No, and that's crazy because it's two men run on tickets all the time.
All the time.
They're claiming to represent the interests of 52% of the people they don't share a gender with.
Right, and we're fucking it up all over the
place. All over the place.
Two men.
Two men is not the answer, I think we've learned. No.
On any level, really.
I think it's clear that everyone is flawed in this situation.
I agree, yes.
But I mean, it still troubles me that I, like, I'm living in a world where oftentimes I see things that I feel like are gendered or sexist that people dismiss and are like, not in modern day America.
Well, you're writing a brilliant blog.
I'm writing a brilliant blog about this at softsexism.com, P.S. but it boggles my, like, that was what hit me at brunch is I was like, I can't even imagine a world in which two women could run for president. That shouldn't be the case still.
No.
The fact that not only have we never had a woman, so no wonder I can't imagine it, but like a world in which two women were running is like, that's too, I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
And that shouldn't be the case.
No, it shouldn't be.
If I can't run for president against Sarah Palin, and it's not because, you know, she's an idiot and shouldn't be allowed to run for president, but it's because we're both women. That's not a world I want to live in.
Yeah, exactly. So
here's another thing that happened this week.
Yeah, exactly. There's no
speaking of women.
Yeah. We got more Hillary email.
Every and moment of these emails is a joy.
And they were
to behold.
Again. Not, there weren't. You know, we didn't find out that she liked tea or Parks and Recreation or anything this week, which was sort
had
of
questions
upsetting
about gefilte fish.
Right. Exactly.
Wondered where we are in that.
Those are what we live for with these right. emails. But there was one this week that really pissed me off.
Yeah.
And it should have pissed people more gays off and people, but it didn't because we're blind to this. And I also have something to say just generally that I had thought about with
great.
Her email
I love it.
Scandal. But anyway, she, in an email in 2010, the State Department had just recently changed
the passport application.
The passport application where instead of having to list the mother and father, they changed those words to parent one and parent two, which was, you know, in obviously...
there are non-traditional families
right,
where you
in
have...
in recognition of non-traditional families, exactly. So Hillary Clinton, of all people, was fucking pissed.
Yeah.
And she wrote an email about it, and she said, where she basically, she proclaimed that she was not going to defend the decision, and then, quote, which I disagree with and knew nothing about in front of this Congress. I would live with letting people in non-traditional families choose another descriptor so long as we retain the presumption of mother and father. Yikes.
She does not make that sound...
Right, but, oh, we have to go on. Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
She said, failure to act immediately, she fretted, would lead to a, quote, huge Fox-generated media storm led by Sarah Palin et al.
Yeah.
So...
there's two things here.
Two things.
One of which is that she's afraid of Sarah Palin.
Which
she
should
be. Not a place
be.
To be.
And that is... that's maddening.
Yeah.
But what's more maddening is that she disagrees with this.
With the idea of doing this.
Says specifically that she disagrees with it.
Yeah.
And wants to stick to the mother and father.
Right.
That gays everywhere should be furious
yeah.
about this. A lot of them are. But
I'm
a lot
sure,
of them
I hope.
Are giving her a pass because, you know,
they
she's
always
their,
giving her a pass
their icon. It's like the pass that we give to, you know, the last five Madonna albums,
right.
basically. You know, I mean, it's just like, you know, they have decided that she's a badass bitch and that she's gonna fucking rule the world.
Right.
And that's, and she wears fun pantsuits and like,
they're
that's,
not that fun.
And that's it.
Yeah.
So that it's been decided that the gays are supposed to love Hillary Clinton, despite all of the facts in front of them to the
yeah.
contrary, that she,
which
she
is
doesn't,
all the fact.
That she doesn't really like you.
Right. And has never really stood up for your rights or
no.
values.
Until it was
politically
expedient,
to do so.
For her to do so.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No, that's, and don't, first of all, if there's one thing that we learned through this gay rights battle, or through this gay marriage battle, I'll say specifically, because as we know, I have further thoughts on what gay rights means versus gay marriage.
Sure. Yes, of course.
But through this gay marriage battle, we learned that generally the more press and opposition that this issue gets, the more that people's views of it get progressive.
Yeah.
So, like, the more that you try to ban gay marriage, the more legal it becomes.
Yeah.
That's what we learned. So, for her to be worried about a Fox-generated media storm is really just a concern about her short-term political future.
Correct.
It has nothing to do with her concern about what happens to this issue and what happens
right.
to gay parents.
And obviously, she didn't have, she wasn't going to stand up for this. Even if she believed for it, she was going to be too weak to stand up for it, which is another...
Yeah.
I mean,
that's another problem.
Yeah, that's
also,
another problem. But
this is stupid.
Yes.
This is not something to be against.
No, this is not something to be against at all.
I, as a person who has a regular mother and father, feel fine
right.
if they had to be parent one and parent two.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel okay about that.
And they would, too.
And they would, too.
Yes.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
That's,
they might bicker about which one was one and two.
Right, no.
But, I mean, beyond that.
Beyond, there's no... I have private concerns that she was just worried about being number two to Chelsea.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Obviously, yeah. Chelsea's an only child. We know she rules the roost because we know about only children.
That's right.
So we know that being parent one would be a hot commodity in that household.
Right, exactly.
And but, if Clinton, because unlike Bill, she's not semi-retired.
Yeah.
Was gonna have to, was gonna have to try to stake her claim as parent one.
Yeah.
It could have not gone well.
Yeah.
He's a tough competitor.
I have just this email controversy, and we can all argue amongst ourselves until the cows come home whether this is a real controversy or
right.
whether it's not a real controversy. But the fact remains is that her numbers are going down against Bernie Sanders and against Republicans because
of this scandal
of this.
That they cannot control.
At a certain point, when does it become selfish, maybe it's now, that she is still running
yeah.
for president? I mean, I think that so many Democrats are just... would like to declare this a non-issue, and that's fine to declare this a non-issue, but when it is an actual issue, it is not in our best interest. You know, yeah. Sort of on a not as insane level, reminds me of John Edwards running for president.
Yeah.
I mean, right, this is obviously...
trickling because, of like, these
he,
things.
He knew what was going on, and he knew what was going to happen when everyone found out about all of the shenanigans that he was in.
Right.
What would have happened had he been the nominee of our party? Yeah. I feel like, to a lesser degree, that's what's going on
here.
It's
just nonstop revelations that are just challenges. She just comes up against walls.
She is our nominee, and then we have to keep reading her emails until November of 2016, and we lose, that's us.
Yeah, no.
That's on us.
That's on us.
For ignoring this. And it's also on her for...
for staying in the race, despite the fact that she's the only one who could know what's in the emails.
Bingo.
Because we can't know. This is treasure. It's a treasure trove of comedy material. But I certainly didn't see that gefilte fish email coming last time.
No.
And I did not see the State Department email coming this time.
No.
I can't know what she emails people about.
Nope.
Nobody. She's unknowable. Nobody knows what she emails
people.
She
sent them.
She's the only one who can know what is in her email. Because she is the person who controls her email.
That's right.
In any case. Oh, there was a hilarious one, though, about her not being able to get through to the White House. She tried to call the White House directly, they wouldn't put her through because they didn't believe it was her.
She was having a feud with the person who answers the phone at the White House.
And they were, like, demanding her direct line, and she was like,
I don't know what my number is.
Exactly. So she gave them her home phone number, and they didn't believe it, so she had to call, have one of her staffers call the White House so that they would believe it was her. I wonder if you can just call, like... It's like how making a restaurant reservation as yourself is not as effective as doing it as your assistant. I learned this because, I have a department store last name, so I sometimes try to finagle that into good restaurant reservations. Mm-hmm. So I have learned that in order to do that effectively, you can't call and be like, hi, I'm Lila Nordstrom looking for a restaurant reservation. You have to be like, hi, I'm calling from Lila Nordstrom's office looking for a restaurant reservation. And for some reason, people take that 1,000 times more seriously.
I love that.
Because that Lila Nordstrom has an assistant.
Yep. Uh-huh.
So she must be the real one.
With a last name like that. Well,
then, yeah, she must be the real Lila Nordstrom.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas nobody is the real Lila Nordstrom because Lila Nordstrom is not a Nordstrom.
Yeah.
So it's like, in any case.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my
gosh. You may have heard about Kim Davis's meeting with the Pope this week.
I hope you did because...
Everybody did, and everybody immediately flipped the fuck out one way or the other because obviously the left was pissed off.
Right, because they've been loving this Pope.
They love the Pope, and the right was obviously like, aha, the Pope... is against gay marriage and also thinks that we can ignore the Constitution and not marry them here in this
country.
So that, unfortunately, is not what happened.
No, because Kim Davis did not have a private meeting with the Pope.
Because Kim Davis is a liar. She said that she had a private meeting with the Pope, and she had like a real, she had a real long story about it. And she said, she did an interview, and she said, just knowing that the Pope is on track with what we're doing and agreeing, kind of validates everything.
Nobody knows what she's talking about, including the Pope, because she did not meet the Pope in a private meeting.
So finally,
found out what happened.
Right,
it trickled out
because Friday the Vatican finally issued a statement because I think that they saw that this was, like, becoming an issue and was bad press. Yeah. So they released a statement on Friday saying that Davis was one of several dozen persons who had been invited by the...
That's a Catholic word.
Some Catholic word to greet Pope Francis. Yeah, exactly. As he prepared to leave Washington for New York City. And they reiterated that the meeting with Davis was not meant to be interpreted as... an endorsement of her, and also the Pope didn't set it up, and it was not a private meeting.
Right,
and they went a step beyond that to say not only was it not a private meeting, the only private meeting that he did have, was with an old gay friend of his,
exactly,
who is in has a gay family.
Yeah, a gay family man, if you will, is the one private meeting that he did take.
That's the private meeting that he had.
Yeah,
yeah, and it doesn't stop there.
No,
because apparently the person who set up this meeting and invited Kim Davis to meet.
That's an archbishop.
Right.
That is he's at the Vatican, but he was the one who arranged all of the meetings.
Yes.
Carlo Maria Vigano.
He's going to be fired.
Yeah.
By the way.
Because they were like, none of this.
No.
None of this.
This should not have happened. Yeah. So, in theory, the Pope had no idea who she was.
Right.
No idea what the controversy was.
No.
And the person who set it up is going to be fired. And Kim Davis is a fucking liar.
And that's what we learned. One person that this Pope did meet in private
was gay.
Was a gay family man.
Right. So, good work, Kim Davis.
Yes. Bringing the truth to Americans by telling us the opposite and then hoping that we'll find out the truth eventually.
So good.
And we end this podcast with a terrible story about how the Carolinas are underwater. We didn't find a funny end story.
No. We were like, Should we end with something funny? And then we poked around for a little bit and we were like, nah.
We already covered the Hillary Clinton email situation.
I know.
About the continuing Veep-like shenanigans that are going on where now she can't even call the White House.
I know. Anyway, South Carolina's underwater, by the way, so that's...
Bad flooding going on in sad. South Carolina.
Yeah, because we were supposed to have Hurricane Joaquin, which was going right. to be like, it's, I think, a Category 5.
Which did now. Lead to a lot of fun Joaquin Phoenix graphics about his various hair growth, stages of hair growth, and the stages of the
There's
hurricane.
There's what's funny.
Yeah, we did it.
Found it.
We found it.
Success. Good work. But it went out to sea. It never right. made
Instead,
never
we
made
just got all the rain.
Yeah, exactly. So, like...
A shit ton of rain.
Like, what was it? Like 4 months worth in a day or yeah. something like that? I can't remember. What's
yeah,
that?
It was four
what
months worth
that?
Of rain.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, since Thursday. And this was, I think, yesterday that we were getting these updates from.
Yeah.
So it's the worst coastal flooding since Hurricane Hugo, which was in 1989.
Right. That's a while ago, guys.
That was a long time ago. Yes.
There have been flood-related deaths. There have been flood-related property damage, obviously.
Yeah.
They're in a state of emergency. It's just, and everyone's supposed to stay in their homes.
Yeah, they're fearing mudslides and landslides in some of the higher elevation places. But, you know, if you're looking for a silver lining, it's that Joaquin did not touch down. Because
right.
considering the amount of rain that they're having and that it is now a Category 5, but it's out to sea, that it could have been
a real,
it could have been like a real, an actual disaster.
Yeah.
Like
on
scope
an epic
of
scale.
Some of, you know, like the terrible storms that we've had over the years.
Yeah. Well, we're expecting a lot of those this year because this year is a disaster.
That's right.
We're having an El Nino year.
We're getting
year
El Nino. I know. Yeah. It was supposed to rain all day today.
Yeah. Obviously, El Nino is late.
It didn't.
Like many people in Southern California, El Nino is not arriving on time. But supposedly, we're going to be having actual rain this year, which for us will cause disasters and deaths because we have mudslides just up the wazoo when this happens.
And we have car crashes.
And we have car crashes.
Drive.
People can't drive. But maybe we can start taking normal length showers, too.
Yeah, I know. These 5-minute showers are really getting to me.
I know.
And I'm sticking to that.
I'm not.
I'm good about it.
Here's why. I've come to a point where I'm getting a little grumpier than maybe I should as a person who generally cares about the environment.
Yep.
For a few reasons. One of which is that on my drive to work every day, I see beautiful green lawns in Beverly Hills, a
yes.
place that's not enforcing the water restrictions the way that they should be.
Correct.
And so every day I'm treated to wasted water just
exactly.
sprinkling out in front of my eyes.
Your 7-minute shower.
My 7-minute shower.
Might not.
Is not.
End things.
Gonna end things. Also,
yeah.
I'm fucking sick of hearing about how all the water's actually being used by people that are farming walnuts and almonds in the Central Coast.
True. Yes.
If we had any incentives for people to be conserving water on the agricultural end.
Yes.
We, the residents of California that only use, what, 20% of the water?
Yeah, exactly.
Would not have to take 7-minute showers.
I'm with you.
5-minute showers, sorry.
Yeah, 5 minutes.
I like how I slowly increased that.
I know. Well, I said 7 minutes
right.
because I was just inferring maybe that's how long your shower was.
They're
I don't
not,
know how long
they're
your
not
shower
that
was.
Long, but they're not 5 minutes. I have a lot of hair. I can't just be 5.
Yeah.
5-minute showers are for men, and I think we can agree on that.
That's probably true.
I mean, I think that it's a gendered phenomenon, the idea mm-hmm. that you can 5-minute shower.
Yeah.
But
Here's another angle that I'm taking to really...
Yeah.
Personally, just end
Sticking
this drought.
Night.
I'm just not showering some days.
Yeah, why not? Some days you don't want to.
I didn't shower today.
No, who needs... It's Sunday. What, are you trying to shower on a Sunday?
Come on.
Who needs that? So much work.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, also, I feel like I want to have a discussion about how there are other environmental and energy-related issues that Californians are, while imposing on me a 7-minute shower, are not addressing. Like, the fact that I live in 420 square feet.
Yeah.
Comfortably.
That's also why I'm not eating much meat right
exactly.
now.
Exactly. There are a lot of ways in which my energy consumption is very low, and I know this because my power bill is ludicrously low.
Right.
I have not paid a power bill in 6 months because I got one energy credit that lasted me for the entire half of the year.
Good work.
Good work me. I'm doing great because I'm not using any energy.
Yeah.
I'm sick of walking into people's houses who have vast landscapes of housing where they have shit everywhere and a thousand dishwashers and whatever people are up to.
Non-indigenous plants.
And having those people
7 days a week.
Lecture me about fucking 7-minute, 5-minute, 5-minute showers.
I know.
In any case, this is not how I want you guys to remember me. But I am getting sick of hearing about the drought, so I really need El Nino
to
come respectfully.
Yes, exactly.
Don't That's destroy right. Southern California.
No.
But we do need some rain.
Yes.
Because I can't keep having these conversations.
Yeah.
Exactly. In any case.
That's it.
That's it. That's the news this
we're
week.
We're gonna have a blog this
oh my
week,
God.
By the way.
You guys, we're about to start blogging because we realized that if there's one year in which
it's
we had to get our shit together, it was this one.
Yeah.
It is our moment. Our first blog is going to be about what to expect at the Democratic debates that are coming up.
Next week, guys. Yeah. Can you even believe it? It's,
couldn't be more exciting.
It's a week from
Tuesday. A week from Tuesday, I believe. Yeah. And then, so from then on, we're going to be off and blogging.
We're on it.
So pay attention to that.
That's right.
Share with your friends. Tell your friends to listen to the podcast. And look out for our new site. It's going to be, it's going to be beautiful.
Yeah.
So until then, until next week.
That's right.
We'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.